We have three verses this morning that we'll be reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. It is verses 15 through 17. It would be one of those passages that is reasonably familiar to us. I am reading from the New American Standard Bible, which is also the Pew Bible, and what is printed on the handout. And they were bringing even babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." To a certain extent, recently you have almost expected that I'm going to do something goofy at the beginning here. And so for all of you who are expecting something goofy, you know, it's borderline today. Maybe it's not goofy, but it'll be a little silly. Many of us remember this picture that went with the words, "I'm not going to try it. You try it. I'm not going to try it." You got it. So what follows that? The words, "Let's get Mikey. He won't eat it. He hates everything." And then we remember this picture. "Hey, Mikey." You know, and there he is eating it. And so that silliness actually has some seriousness to it, in that sometimes we are absolutely certain that we know how someone else is going to react. We know exactly what they're thinking, and we do not. That's what we're going into this passage recognizing. And so the passage before us this morning, we're studying Luke 18, 15 through 17, making applications and observations at the end. There are a few passages that, either because of their shortness or the nature of the passage, it's hard to label some of this stuff. And so I just go through the passage and we study it. Well, the beginning of verse 15 says, and they were, I'm going to emphasize this for you, they were bringing even babies to him. And we may think of that as being a little odd, but I want you to know that as I was studying the passage, I recognized that there are two different words here referring to the children. The portion here where it says even babies, that word can refer to an unborn child, a child in the womb, and it can refer to a newborn child or a tiny child. And thus, the word babies. In verses 16 and 17, we have a different word, which could, in some occasions, maybe get translated baby, but it's more a young child or a small child. And so, for sake of the argument, we are going to say that the children being brought to Jesus are probably preschool age and down. Now, that doesn't mean that there weren't some older ones, but based on the culture, what we would think of as elementary age children might already be in a formal school setting to learn some things, but they may also be out with dad learning a trade, doing some little things around the place where the younger children are going to be with mom. And so the question, who is bringing these children to Jesus? The absolute answer is Scripture does not say, but we presume that it's the mothers who are bringing them because of the age of the children. Now, another question that comes up here, at least in my mind it came up, why are they bringing even babies to him? And Scripture says to us, so that he could touch them. And the word here very much could read touch, take hold of, or even hold. Now, depending upon what art you have become familiar, you may have seen a painting with Jesus surrounded by children. Maybe even sitting on his lap. But the one thing that we can say for sure, our Lord Jesus Christ did not marry, did not have a physical child, and so I don't know that there are paintings out there of Jesus cradling a newborn in his arm. But the possibility is there that these mothers brought their children and that Jesus may have cradled newborns in his arm at this time. Now, it's not without their little interruption, shall we say. But here it is. Touch, take hold of, as in maybe a five-year-old where, you know, the hand goes around the shoulder or something. But as we see on the slide, it has the implication of conveying a divine blessing. In this context, in other contexts, this take hold of could deal with divine power, as in healing. But here, we have no reason to imagine the healing aspect of it. And with this in mind, the disciples are certain that Jesus should not be having these kids descend upon him. I mean, after all, they have been with Jesus for quite a long while, and he interacts with adults. He teaches adults. And in some instances, the disciples may even be saying, you know, we've been with him every day for all this time, and he says stuff that we don't understand. How in the world are these kids going to understand? We don't understand it. So, you know, let's not do that. Could also be that the disciples are thinking, oh, come on. Those Pharisees and Sadducees, those religious leaders, are always trying to interrupt Jesus' ministry. We can't have a bunch of kids interrupt Jesus' ministry. I mean, you know, that's just going to be a waste of time for everyone. And yet, they are wrong. Jesus does not see it as a waste of time for the children to be there, for moms to be bringing their children there, potentially to receive a blessing and what have you. And so, like those opening slides where those two kids were absolutely sure Mikey would not eat it, and they were wrong, we find the disciples were wrong. Jesus was not bothered. Jesus wants the children to come. And when we're looking at verse 16, Jesus calls the disciples and tells them, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them." So we're going to dig in a little bit here. We've previously seen the word translated as permit in other passages that we've studied. And permit is a wonderful possibility for what it should say. Perhaps allow. And there was a statement of toleration. Now, that may come across a little differently depending upon where we are in life, but of toleration, as in let go, leave in peace, or allow once again. You know, it's not really what we want, but we tolerate it. You know, it'll be done soon enough. And yet, in some of those previous passages, we have seen this same word translated forgive. And what ties these all together? You remember that hand motion of that gripped hand where I said about forgiving is when we loosen the grip that we have on something and release it. We no longer hold on to it. We forgive it. We permit it. The word hinder. Now, we know what hinder is. Hinder, for some, is what the defensive back does when the receiver is running out there and wants to catch the ball. They want to hinder him. They don't want the guy to catch the ball. Well, that's not the context here, but, you know, that idea can work. Do not hinder them. If we're dealing with persons, hinder, prevent, forbid. But there's also that aspect of it as keeping back something from someone. It's a good thing, but we don't want to give it to someone. And Jesus says, do not hinder them. And in that sense, we're looking at don't refuse them, don't deny them, don't withhold the blessing from them. And from this, we can see that our Lord Jesus Christ sees children as being important, not just adults. Children are important. Now, it doesn't specifically say it that way, but we can see it. And so, the end of verse 16, "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Now, when we look at that, we might say, ah, we're dealing with a possession kind of a thing. You know, like, my book. Not your book, it's my book. The kingdom of God belongs to them. And yet, we could very legitimately have said, for of such is the kingdom of God. And that's not about the kingdom being possessed by them. It is about the kingdom consisting of them. And that's a little different. Here in this auditorium, we are mainly older people. But the church is located in Camden, and yet many, many of us do not live in Camden. And so we can't say this church is composed of Camdenites. But we can say this is our church. Whether that's Dover or Houston back there or wherever it happens to be. I mean, we can cover a lot of miles with our residences. Of such. And so I think when we look at that, we have to say, no, it's not about possession. It's about what consists within the group. Children? You know, some of us were not children when we came to faith. Some of us were not just legal adults, but had a few years under our belts. And so, children? We'll get more of that in just a bit. Now, something that Jesus sometimes says, truly I say to you, truly I say to you, the construction of this sentence makes the emphasis that what is being said is a solemn declaration of what is true. And I know that you don't see at the beginning of verse 17 the word amen. But it's there in the original text. And when we say the word amen, we are saying truth. When someone prays, and we're hearing that prayer, they say, amen. They are saying, I am declaring what I have prayed to be true. And when we're over here hearing it and we say, amen, in agreement we are saying, yes, I declare that as truth also. It's here in the word truly. So, in those passages that we remember reading, truly, truly, it says, amen, amen. It is a solemn declaration. And then, further into verse 17, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child. The word receive. Boy, can we go all kinds of places with this. We have all worked for companies along the way where there was a receiving department. And all of the deliveries came to the receiving department. And there may have actually been one person whose job title was receiver. And it was that person's job, when the delivery comes, to verify that's what was supposed to come. There may be a bill of lading associated with the delivery. There may be a purchase order that he pulls out. And he's looking at it, And he'll read a part number and compare it, and he'll look at a quantity and what have you. And if it is not correct, he's supposed to make sure that somebody knows about it. Whether, you know, if there were supposed to be 100, but 200 came in, he can't just say, oh, sure. Somebody's got to okay this. I mean, can we use 200 of them? Can we afford 200 of them? That's for somebody else. And so there may be a stamp that the receiver inks up and boom. And he signs it and the stamp says, received, subject to count and inspection. In other words, if you delivered broken stuff, we don't want it. But we can't tell if it's broken because all we're doing is looking at the carton. Things like that. So, where is it? Receive. Okay. It used to be here. Now it's here. It's received. And from a business sense, that makes perfect sense. Except this receive can be so much bigger and deeper than simply, yeah, I accept it. Because we can be talking about an openness where we would say, instead of receive, we would say, welcome. Some would say, ah, well, you're dealing with hospitality now. You're not dealing with a legal transaction, although that may be involved. But you know what? If that shipment was supposed to come in yesterday and it didn't, are you welcoming it today? You're pretty happy it's there. But there are those aspects of, oh, now what? Because you really needed it yesterday. Welcoming is part of what goes on here. And so it's not just whoever does not receive or accept the kingdom of God like a child. It's welcoming. Do you welcome it? I don't know if this has ever happened. I suspect it has. But, I mean, have you ever been somewhere amongst a group and somebody comes up and says, you might not be part of this group, but we have this extra ice cream cone. Do you want it? And some would go, no, I really don't. And some would go, do I want it? You had to ask the question? Yes. And so that individual is welcoming it, not simply receiving it. You know, kids going through the lunch line. Platter. But every once in a while, there is that thing that school serves that's like, oh, it's today. And when they come up, it's like, yeah. Oh, they welcome it. And he's saying, if you do not welcome the kingdom of God like a child, it's not simply, yeah, okay, that's fine. So, the end of the verse. Will not enter it at all. And it's referring to the kingdom of God. And so we're okay, wait a minute here. I think we're getting into some serious stuff now. Pastor, you're saying it's not just we're standing in a line and, you know, the hand goes out and somebody puts something in it. We go, okay, I got it. We're talking about, yes, I wanted that. I'm welcoming it. If we don't receive the kingdom of God, welcoming it like a child. Okay? Now, to a certain extent, it's going to be a rabbit trail. But have you ever known a child of, say, 5 or 6 years old who got a hand-knitted sweater from Aunt Shirley going, yes, yes. We as parents usually remind them, say thank you. You know, they're like, thank you. But on the other hand, if it is that thing that they have dreamed of, you know, I see that on a commercial every day. Oh, I want it, Mom. And Aunt Shirley brings it. It's going to be, oh, whoa, oh, the words are just not going to be able to come out, you know, and Aunt Shirley's going to get tackled with, you know, and, oh, I love you, Aunt Shirley, you know. If we do not welcome the kingdom of God like children, we'll not enter it at all. And so we'll not enter. We can think of it locally, as in there's a door, I open the door and I enter. No big deal. We do it all the time, right? It could get translated, go in or come in. Either way, it's the same word, no problem. You see, it says, of persons in a good sense. Come into, enter in, or begin to enjoy. That's not usually what we think about when we think of the word enter. And this says, without receiving the kingdom of God, welcoming like a little child, we will not enter it. So we can say, okay, we will not go in, we will not come in, but we also have to say, we will not begin to enjoy. And when we do that, we go, oh, begin to enjoy. Do I enjoy the kingdom of God? I'm going to have to think about that a little bit. Do I enjoy, you know, and it brings up the question. We could also say begin to experience. And I have commented on various occasions of the already but not yet tension. Because as believers, we already are experiencing the kingdom of God in a sense, a spiritual sense. But there is a future day when we will experience it in a brand new way that will be so much more full than what we experience right now. I want to do a little printing lesson, I'll call it. Now I got you all really excited, right? A printing lesson. It says, at all. And I want you to notice that most Bibles have that italicized. And in case you've never heard it or have not thought about it for a while, italicized words in Scripture have been put there by the people who have done the work. They don't exist in the text that they are working, but they believe that using those words help us understand the sense that needs to be there. And so, when it says, will not enter at all, the at all is not part of the original. And they are italicized so that we know that they are supplied words. Now, when we look at this a little differently, a little deeper, grammar-wise, and I love grammar, you know that, this verb enter is written in a tense that expresses possibility. It is the kind of tense that we would use in prayer. Because it's not reality, that's not what we're seeing, but we are asking God to accomplish that. And so we are saying, please do this. Please make it possible, if you will. And so this tense of possibility happens to be negated. It's a negative. Will not enter. And Greek does a thing that English does not do. Let me tell you a little story. I had the opportunity as a student between my junior and senior year at Lancaster Bible College to go on a mission trip to Jamaica. And one particular day, we are in a van, and the leader of the mission trip handed out bags of snacks around the van. The other married guy on the trip and I had a number of classes together. We were good friends. There was a bag handed back to us. We opened it and we started snacking. Somebody in the front of the van hollered back, "Hey, what do you guys got?" And I clearly said, "We ain't got nothing." And that's grammatically correct. And that was the last I ever heard of it. What they understood was, we didn't have a snack. But because I said, we ain't got nothing, the double negation canceled each other out. And what I said was, we have something. And they never asked us what we had after that. In Greek, when you double negate, what you do is you hammer it harder. You don't take it away when you add the second one. You make it heavier. You make it more weighty. You make it more distinct. And so, this, and forgive me, Matthew, in case I messed you up here, because I think I just slid between two slides here. What can I say? I get excited. There we go. Okay. We're still on the first one. What? That's the second one. Okay. Can we go back? Thank you. Enter, when it is negated in this tense, indicates that it is highly unlikely or only slightly possible, and we would read, might not enter. It does not say, absolutely never will. It says, might not. Likely will not. Only tiny chance that it can happen. But when it's double negated, and this is the next slide, Matthew, in case I messed you up the first time. Double negated, it is the absolute strongest, weightiest that can be in Greek. So it would read something like, never might enter, or as it shows here, will not enter at all, with the italicized words. It's not going to happen. Period. Now, applications and observations. First, the people found Jesus to be a warm, gentle, and loving person. They felt welcomed, so they brought their children to Jesus. There are times when our grandchildren don't want to come to us because they look at us and they go, Grandpa looks grouchy. He's not going to welcome me. You know, but generally speaking, we're welcoming. But there are going to be some times that we're just not very welcoming. Jesus, no matter how busy he was welcoming. The second, certain aspects of ministry may seem inconvenient or less likely to bear fruit for the kingdom, but all people of every age are important to Jesus. Part of what this, along with this passage is, let's not forget about the kids. As a church, we support Child Evangelism Fellowship of Delaware. We want children's ministry going forward. We do not have children here, but we're not against children. We just don't have them here. But also, when Lee and I were still in our 20s, we started going into nursing homes. I have always felt very comfortable, even as a 20-year-old, with people who could have been my grandparents or my great-grandparents. Why? I don't know for sure. However, I think part of the reason is that my dad was almost 50 years old when I was born. I was around old people all the time. You know, I better be comfortable with them. So there we were going to nursing homes. And one of the things that happens, people get forgotten in nursing homes. And you go in there, and it's almost like they're the little kids who were out playing in the mud who want to come up and hug you. Because they know you don't have to be there. And they are thankful that you come. Are they important to Jesus? Oh, yes, they are. Is it more difficult for them to leave a life of sin to seek forgiveness from our Savior? Yes, it is. Is it possible? Yes. The third one. Like the disciples, sometimes we hinder people from coming to Jesus. Really, Pastor? You should have told me to wear my steel-tipped shoes. We do it? Yes, we do. Sometimes. You know, we have off days, and we're not always our friendliest. Sometimes, quite honestly, we look at someone and say, oh, they would never come to the Lord. And so we don't say anything. But you know what? There have been people who have ministered to drug addicts and prostitutes who have had incredibly fruitful ministries. And forgive me for a moment, but you really don't have to talk much with drug addicts and prostitutes to convince them that they have not done good things in their lives. They already know it. What they need to hear is that there's a Savior who loves them and wants to forgive them. I mean, after all, we have that passage in Scripture where the Pharisee says, either to himself or the person right next to him, you know, if this guy really was the Savior, he would know what kind of woman that was. Which means he would have steered clear. And so he never would have gone to that individual to say, you can leave your life of sin and you can come to faith in Jesus and be forgiven. And you can have a new life. Sometimes we hinder people. And our fourth and last. Have you noticed that elementary school age children hear absolutely yes when we know we said maybe or possibly? Have you noticed that? You know, when, hey, Dad, can we go fishing on Saturday? Oh, well, we'll have to see. What happened Saturday? Get up, Dad. We need to go fishing. You said we could go fishing. Why do I say that? They need no proof. They just believe. We as adults, what do? I'm from Missouri. You have to show me. You have to prove the 47 arguments, or I won't believe. Kids believe. There are those times, and I know that we're not in that situation, but imagine a family at the pool. And here's mom or dad in the water, you know, above the waist. And little Johnny's on the side, you know, and mom or dad's just a little bit in, and they're saying, okay, jump. And the kid jumps. And then a day or so later, we're at home at the bottom of the steps, and we hear little Johnny go, hey, Dad! And dad turns, boom, and Johnny's on his chest because he was 3, 4, 5 steps up, and he leaped because he just believed that dad would catch him. They do it. They don't need evidence. They believe. They welcome. And so our conclusion today, the kingdom of God is composed of 4 of such individuals who genuinely believe, no proof required, and welcome Jesus, surrendering to him as Savior from sin, and have begun to enjoy their relationship with God the Father. Pray with me, please. Father, as we consider this passage that is relatively familiar and yet it is so wonderfully rich and deep, a reminder about what is often called childlike faith. And here we are as adults. Sometimes we struggle because we don't just believe. We want to see evidence. And yet this is what you're calling us to. Lord, thank you for faith. Thank you for believing faith. Thank you for sustaining faith. Thank you for growing and maturing faith.